As the Lord should be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, and the first half of the 16th verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Chapter 1, the Epistle to the Romans, and the first half of the 16th verse. The gospel of Christ is declared to be good tidings of great joy. Every sinner who has the mercy to be born again hears those good tidings and knows along life's way somewhat of the joy, and understands the psalmist's declaration, blessed is the people, all the heaped up happiness of the people that know the joyful sound, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And it is a wonderful mercy if what the Saviour said to his disciples can be said of you are your ears, for they hear. You are found under the gospel, and that is a great privilege, a privilege to be prized. Many of you, it can be said, were born under the gospel. From baby days onward, you have been found where the gospel is preached. And the greatest mercy that you can know is to be brought to hear the gospel for yourself. To join with Asaph and declare, I would hear what God the Lord would say for my soul's peace and profit. And as you gather together in the attitude of worship, to be concerned to get in touch with him who is the center and circumference of the gospel of Christ, we would see Jesus and see in him all our salvation and all our desire. I want, as the Lord you help me, to say a little to you, first of all, about the gospel of Christ, what it really is, and then how it is known to be the power of God unto salvation in the soul's experience of poor sinners who are given ears to hear it. And conclude by showing what it means not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. As you are aware, at least all our people are, I do not preach at any time just what are called baptizing sermons. I have never in my long ministry been led to do so. On such occasions as these, I always seek to deal with what a profession of the name of Jesus means after one has been baptized, and reduce into practice what they know of the things of God. And so, first of all, the Apostle Paul declared, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. it might be helpful, as briefly as one can do it, to look just a little at the setting of the subject, for the context tells us, "So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." You will find the word of God makes it plain that the Apostle Paul had a wonderful concern in his breast to go to Rome and preach the gospel there. And he uses language which, if you and I should seek to use it, you will have to do it with a trembling heart and a trembling tongue. For he says, "God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request," do listen, "if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." You will remember what that journey really was, how the Apostle Paul was taken prisoner in Jerusalem and appealed to Caesar and journeyed to Rome, and then, as you read in the Acts of the Apostles, suffered that great shipwreck in his journeying, but ultimately arrived in Rome, and there for 2 years in his own hired house preached the gospel of Christ, and thus his soul's desire was fulfilled, but not as he thought deep down in his heart it would be brought about at the first. And he had this deep down concern to make known the gospel of Christ to the godly at Rome. And now, the gospel of Christ. Good tidings of great joy, as I said at the outset. What is it? When it is viewed aright, there is a word which you will ponder in your hearts. I have already quoted this word once a week ago when preaching at another baptizing service, and I must quote it again. "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." Ashamed of me and my words. My words. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The gospel of Christ, my words. Remember that. The gospel of Christ. He is the sum and the substance of the gospel. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Says this same Paul, "I determined to know nothing among you in the church at Corinth but Jesus Christ and him crucified." And so, the gospel of Christ, understood aright, is the words of Christ, the work of Christ. Remember that. And I will look at it, as grace is given, from that viewpoint. The work of Christ. I can only give you hints about it. The subject is vast, the time is limited. Our thoughts are very scanty, our capacities too, to understand are very small, but it is a wonderful mercy to have our ear attent to the gospel of Christ, if so be you might hear some good for your soul, wherein you may thank God and take courage to believe you have an interest in it. What a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare. The soul that knows it lives. And ere there is a profession made, in accordance with the gospel of Christ, that one, knowing it to be good tidings of great joy, is not ashamed of it, but bears witness to it, there is the proclamation of it. And a wonderful mercy it is that God has ordained that men should go about where he pleases and ordains to preach the gospel, men of like passions as we are, men who are poor sinners, who are glad to tell us grace is given to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. And now, first of all, this word tells us, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that means everyone that believeth believes what the gospel of Christ declares concerning he whose gospel it is. And that brings us to a starting point. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see that great thing which came to pass there. And if we are helped to go aright, a little babe, a holy babe, and he is sheltered in a stable and cradled in a manger. Who is that little babe? He is Almighty God, maker of heaven and earth. Verily God, verily man. And the gospel of Christ makes this known, and the power of God enables sinners to believe it. Almighty God, side human breath, the Lord of life experienced death. How it was done, we can't discuss, but this we hope was done for us. Did you ever go to Bethlehem and by living faith, as it were, worship that dear babe? Veiled in flesh, the Godhead, see, pleased a man with men to be. And so the gospel of Christ reveals that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And in doing it, God, in the purpose of his Son, hath all his mightiest works outdone. Wonderful to think on, when faith as a grain of mustard seed can contemplate it. It would do you good to go to Bethlehem and see that thing which came to pass there. You would feel lowly, babe, we fall before thee. Jesus, thee we would adore. To thee kingdom, power, and glory be ascribed forevermore. But then, the gospel of Christ not only sets forth his birth, but his wonderful life, his lovely life, his holy life, his suffering life. Yes, I do like that scripture. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his own Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And he kept that law on behalf of all that mighty host the Father ordained to life eternal. In him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. In him we then perfection view, and the saints in him the perfect too. He said at the end of his life, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And there is the gospel of Christ. It is finished, cried the Lord in his dying minute. Holy Ghost, repeat the word. All salvation's in it. But then, the law saith to the sinner born under it, the soul that sinneth, it should die. And therefore, we see that amazing mystery which no language of preachers can ever describe as it ought to be set forth. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And on Calvary's cross, you see an amazing mystery and an amazing mercy. It is a scene of matchless grace. It is Jesus in the sinner's place. And the gospel of Christ declares, Christ died for our sins. Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus' blood through earth and skies. Mercy, eternal mercy, Christ. But Jesus Christ, verily man, is holy. Humanity was laid in the grave. But not to abide there. The Easter morning dawned and came forth the glorious conqueror, triumphant over sin and death and hell. And the gospel of Christ was revealed. The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon, and to every sinner born again, the Lord will appear. Sooner or later, the Lord will appear and make known to that sinner born again the gospel of Christ as good tidings of great joy, and make known his or her part and lot therein. And then, having looked around on his disciples and those who were wrought upon by his Spirit, the Saviour ascended into heaven. And the gospel of Christ makes it very plain. This is you and I are here before God in the attitude of worship. Jesus on the eternal throne for mourners intercedes. And the gospel of Christ is proclaimed. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He lives. The great Redeemer lives. What joy the blessed assurance gives, and now before his Father God pleads the full merit of his blood. The gospel of Christ. Jesus Christ coming down into this world to live therein a while. Do that great work which must needs be done, that a number which no man can number should be saved with an everlasting salvation. A people afore prepared unto glory, and love's redeeming work being done, the Saviour returns on high, and there he is till time should be no more, and then he will come and take all the rest of his people home. so shall we be forever with the Lord. And now that is only just a very faint outline of the gospel of Christ. Good tidings of great joy to sinners born again and none other. Remember that. The dead know not anything of the good tidings. Never, never realize what is the joy. Look at the subject from another viewpoint. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one which believeth. The power of God. What does that mean? What is that power? It is not that power that God exercised as the Creator when in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Oh, the exercising of that power was comparatively easy for God as the Creator to make known. It is not that power whereby God exercises his providence, and so that word is fulfilled, the Lord is good to all. It is not that power, providential power. It is the power of God, but it is the power of God in Christ. It is the power which comes down to poor sinners and whereby the gospel is known as good tidings of great joy in their soul's experience through what was done on Calvary's cross. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But how came it about, speaking with great reverence, that Jesus Christ, as he is in heaven, on behalf of poor sinners like you and me, how is it that Jesus Christ can exercise that power, the power of God, in the gospel of Christ? Here is the answer. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead on that Easter morn long ago, the Church of Christ, as a whole, every member of it, millions untold, hundreds of millions, rose in him too. In union with him as the Church's living head. And so, the power of God, revealed in the gospel of Christ, is what the Apostle Paul prays for elsewhere, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Such is the power. Almighty power. A wonderful mercy to know just a little of it in our soul's experience. None of us have gone down very deeply therein, nor climbed up very much into the heights of it. But to know just a little, oh, it is a wonderful mercy. The power of God in our soul's experience. I will look at that power, showing you just a few characteristics of it. And now the Word of God says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. And that is the opening up of this power, power of God, when God begins to deal with a sinner born again. This power can be said to be an illuminating power. I've told you many times about those words in the Hebrews, after ye were illuminated, And now, this power of God, known and felt in a sinner's breast, illuminates him. Which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and that is how he knows it. Heavenly light reveals it. The power of God illuminates the sinner. And he finds, as he goes on, and the truth is unfolded, that he is just such a sinner as the Word of God describes a sinner to be, who is taught of God. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And you find that sinner saying with Job, "Behold, I am vile. O Lord, how vile am I! Unholy and unclean, how can I dare to venture nigh with such a load of sin?" And this power of God, as it illuminates the sinner within, shows him what he is as a sinner before God. The same power of God convinces that sinner of the truth of it. And when he reads in the Word of God a description of a sinner born again and the opening up of his sinnership, something inside that sinner's breast says, "Thou art the man." And he falls down before God, as it were. Puts his mouth in the dust of self-abasement. If so be, there may be hope. And the outcome of this convincing by the Spirit of God, the power of God being made known, makes things to be so real to that sinner being led into the truth. Heaven becomes real. Hell becomes real. Time becomes real. Eternity becomes real. Sin becomes real. And he knows that sin, henceforth, has got to be measured by its intent, and not only by its extent. The thought of foolishness is sin. By him, actions are weighed. And a look, it can be adultery. So the law of God is made known for what it really is, in a sinner's conscience. Much might be said along that line of thought. This power of God also makes religion to be real to a sinner born again. And he cannot be content with the doings of the great I. No, nor with a name to live, a form of godliness, a respectable outside show before men will not suffice. Something must be known and felt. The leprosy lies deep within. Yes. And so this power of God makes things to be real. Makes the sinner born again realize life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. This power too, the power of God, is a separating power, so that the sinner possessing it cannot live any longer as he used to live, as he was born. He can no longer be living with an aim to be after the flesh, the things of the flesh. No. He must now, as grace is given, be ever on the stretch after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And he says with the psalmist, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And the power of God is seen in the life of this sinner born again, whose character I am describing. If any man be in Christ Jesus, behold, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. He is no longer in the earth and of it. But as he goes about in it, he finds what he never felt before, an aching void which this world cannot fill. Produced by the power of God. A hunger, a thirst after righteousness. And then this same power of God brings this blessed characteristic. Behold, he prayeth. You will remember it was said of the Apostle Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prayeth. And now it is a wonderful thing when a poor sinner is enabled to do so, and the power of God enables out of the abundance of the heart for the mouth to speak. And you will find that poor sinner in his attempts to pray will be right inside the covers of the Word of God in doing it. He finds scripture prayers help him. Lord, help me. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And so you might go on. And it is good to remember the soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one which believeth. And now as that sinner is led along in life's way, following on to know the Lord, he will realize the power of God in the gospel of Christ from various aspects of it. He will find the gospel of Christ in its power known and felt will give him what he loves to feel, good hope through grace. The saints possess the fruit of Jesus' righteousness and by his Spirit given. Wonderful it is to have hope in God flowing from the power of God. A hope that God has wrought, good hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, says Paul elsewhere. Not only so, this power of God will bring that sinner to realize he has got within a new nature. And instead of living as he was born at enmity to God and godliness, he finds in his breast love to God and godliness. And sometimes that love so enlarges in his heart that he can declare, everything that's dear to him, to me, is also dear. And that love flows out to the house of prayer, and he goes up, no longer urged by parental discipline or by customs choice, but he goes up with willing feet, and his concern is, what is the house to me unless the master I can see? And he looks round on people whom he knows to be taught of God, and he looks on them with eyes of esteem. And he comes into this experience through the power of God. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. A great scripture is that one. He that loveth is born of God. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And then, the gospel of Christ is a gospel of comfort. Sometimes when the gospel is preached, you may feel very uncomfortable. And that is healthy. I have sometimes thought I should like to preach the gospel so that some folks did feel downright uncomfortable and were brought in guilty before God, that they might be more concerned to produce the fruits of righteousness in accordance with the gospel of Christ. I'm not fitting caps on. Oh, but he whose gospel it is the God of all comfort. And sometimes you will find the gospel of Christ will be good tidings of great joy to you. When trouble like a gloomy cloud gathers thick and thunders loud, you will find something in the gospel will touch a chord in your soul's experience. Your soul will be confirmed as having an interest in the gospel of Christ. And you will be able to say, the gospel bears my spirits up. Such is the power of God in the gospel, a supporting power. The watchmen that go about the city, they found me. One more thought about this power of God is the gospel of Christ is a sanctifying power. And when you know the power of God, and as it were, it permeates you, you have a sweet, blessed feeling that you want to live unto God, live for God. This prayer and this ambition mine, living and dying, to be thine. And another thought comes to my mind. The power of God, known in the gospel of Christ, is a satisfying power. There is nothing on earth to be compared to it. Earth cannot produce any illustration to set it forth. It is that which a man cannot receive, except it be given him from heaven. But you come up to be under the gospel in the attitude of worship. You are cast down. You are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You hardly know what you are or where you are in things divine. You are just ready to hope. You dare not go back, and you are afraid to go on. And then the gospel of Christ comes to you. You realize it, the power of God. And you are like Jacob at Mahanaim. And he went on his way, and he did lift up his feet. And you can do it then. The feet of your faith are strengthened, and you can thank God and take courage to go on in the way that is ahead of you. Such is the satisfying nature of the gospel of Christ. What is more desirable than to get a token for good, some help by the way, some intimation of the Saviour's love, which can only come to you under the gospel of Christ? And now look a little at this third viewpoint of the subject. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. I thought as I was pondering this subject, and you think on it as grace is given, and now when I announced the chapter that I read to you, I read it as it is in the Word of God, the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew was inspired of God to record the Gospel which bears his name. But in the Holy Bible it is set forth as the Gospel according to Matthew, likewise Mark, Luke, and John. And now you think on that word according. And in that chapter I read to you, the Savior said to his disciples, "And as ye go, preach." And now, if you are a sinner born again, if you do know the gospel of Christ for what it really is, if in your soul you feel the power of God therein, wherever you go, you will preach. You need not be in a pulpit to do that. God has preachers, and they go up into pulpits. But every sinner born again in his everyday life is preaching. And he is doing that wherever he goes, whether he realizes it or not. And now the great thing is to realize it. As ye go, preach. What you know of the gospel of Christ, be not ashamed to make it known in your lips and life. Hoard up the sacred word, feed thereon and grow. Go on to seek to know the Lord and practice what you know. And listen, in practicing what you know, that will be the gospel according to you. Not the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but what is even more important, the gospel according to you. You remember sometimes I have told you that over 50 years ago, when I used to work in the printing office at Croydon, that at meal times, when we went on our way and got on the trams, as they were then, sometimes when you got on a tram, you would find such a wonderful fragrance of either mint or lavender. And that would be the workmen coming up from the factories out Mitcham way. And their clothes, wherever they went, told people where they had been working. And now your conduct, your conversation, the company you keep, wherever you go, will show to whom you belong. And a wonderful mercy if it can be. And in your conduct, in conversation, there is a fragrance, not of mint or lavender, as I referred to, but the Spirit of Christ. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And now, when the Apostle Paul was wrought on as Saul of Tarsus and made a new creature in Christ Jesus, how bold he was in proclaiming the gospel of Christ, how evident he made it wherever he journeyed about, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Are you? Have you always said what you should say to the glory of God concerning the gospel of Christ? Have you always lived inside that scripture? "Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." Do suffer the word of exhortation. Have you always been like Lot, who vexed his righteous soul from day to day when he heard the filthy conversation of the wicked? "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And there comes in our lives a time to speak, a time to keep silence. And it is well to remember that word, "As ye have therefore opportunity, do good unto all men, especially they that be of the household of faith." And remember this, the gospel of Christ is not a gospel that you need to be ashamed of. You let the gospel of Christ speak for itself. Think of the countless millions, hundreds of millions in the realms of bliss through knowing the power of God as it has been proclaimed. And say thank you to God that the gospel of Christ is still preached. And above all, say thank you to God that you are found under it. And many of you do know somewhat of the power of God in it. But it comes back. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In these solemn times in which you and I are living, there is so much toning down, so much trimming, so much time serving. Oh, you need grace to triumph over all that you are by nature. That, wherever you may be, you may declare in your lips and life, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he whose gospel it is. And oh, may this my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me. And what is to be attended to in going through the baptismal waters by one who has known a little of this power of God is an outward evidence, a manifestation before the world at large. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And Jesus says to each believer, be baptized in my name. He himself in Jordan's river was immersed beneath the stream. The Lord help you to think on these things. Amen.
Hymn number 1130. Tune, Neapolis, number 378.
Jesus, engrave it on my heart that there is the one for me for hearts. I would reward in this part of thee, but never, never reward in thee. 700.